the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pro-White system at RadioArian.com.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 27th of February, 2018. We're almost into March. I was speaking about it being springtime last week, and it's gone back to the winter again. It's absolutely freezing here. I'm shivering away. There's snow outside, and I am wondering who there is to blame for this. And we do actually have Nat Danelaw with us today, and this weather is actually coming over from Denmark, so I'm going to hold you responsible, Nat. How are you today, anyway?
Well, as a matter of fact, it's actually from Siberia. We're getting all of these frosty winds from Siberia at this very moment. Very typical of the English to blame the Danish for the weather conditions. But I can assure you it's because of the Russians in this case. In any case, I am doing fantastic, and it is a good day to be alive. What about you, Sven?
It certainly is a good day to be alive. And one of the things I've just been watching recently was these Olympics. And just before we get right into the program, I'd just like to say I was proved right. I made a prediction a while back that the British bobsleigh team would come last because they had a diversity quota and they had a Negro on the team. And when I saw them practicing, the Negro was at the back of the bobsleigh, waving his arms around and screeching and wailing like he was on a roller coaster ride. And I thought, well, this does not bode well for the Olympics. And sure enough, they came last.
And I mean, I did see that movie Black Panther. I did see that. I saw the Great Wakanda Nation and the mountain tribes, these black people living up in the snowy mountains. And I don't know. I don't understand. In the context of that movie, he should have done exceptionally in the snow.
He certainly should have done. Yeah, I guess he must have been influenced by Hollywood before with that cool Runnings movie. I think he must have been influenced by that. But he's just putting him on the bobsleigh team. It was just done because so that they could say, "Oh, we at least we've got some black guy here with us on the Olympics," because it really is a white Olympics, the winter one. I think I always prefer it to the summer one.
100% white. 100% white.
And it's also it's also something that we have as a civilization is that we have Olympics, we have these games, we put on these big tests of the very best of our people, and we've been kind enough to let these other races join in our Olympics. But I believe you wanted to talk a little bit today about the some of the pitfalls that we have, the burdens of civilization, these people that really are dragging our civilization down. Would that be a correct description of it, Nat?
Yeah, well, what we're going to talk about today is dead weight. Trash people. People who belong in a garbage can, essentially. People who, from the very get-go, scream for uplifting, but are, simply put, you know, deemed to be starving in the street. Now, it is always easier to push something down than it is to try and push something up. That is a natural law of nature. And there's a constant screaming in Europe, particularly, where they talk about integration and social inheritance. They talk about how we break these patterns, the gold medal pattern breakers. And I guess you've seen them in your country too, where normally the media or schools, they always bring in like this wonder packy or this wonder nigger who, you know, lived a tough life with a lot of crime. But he talked to a social worker or something, and, you know, he really pulled through and he got like he passed barely passed his education or whatever with a lot of like help from his professors and shit like that. And, you know, after that, he becomes like the gold medal Muslim or whatever. And he tries to help other shitskins out of their miserable position by, you know, himself being a advisor, essentially. You know, it's the dark cycle. But here in this country, it takes a lot of turns, really, because we have, of course, the Muslims or the niggers who become like these governmental education advisors or motivational speakers, or then they just become poets. Yeah, that's a very common thing here in Denmark. We have like 30 Muslim poets now who use poetry to break the stigmatization of Muslims. So they become very fluent, and all these book companies offer them contracts so they can release their garbage poetry that all talks about how the Danish People's Party is bad and how the Muslims, they need to adjust, but the white people, they also need to adjust. So it's that's how they try and uplift, at least in that regard. But essentially what I'm talking about, and I'm going to try and use an analogy, a very simple analogy. So you and your mates, you're about to go hiking. You packed your backpacks, you have your sleeping mattress, you have everything you need. You have your canned food, you have all the materials you need for a nice week out in the forest. But all of a sudden, your weird looking friend, he says, "Hold on, guys, before we go, I have these bricks I need to put into your bag." And you ask, "Why do we need these bricks?" And he says, no, "These bricks, they're very important. You've got to have them in your backpack. They weigh 10 pounds each, and you need to have at least 3 of them in your backpack. You've got to have them in your backpack." And they stuff them in, and as you're walking with these, you can feel the backpack is getting very heavy, and you're kind of wondering as you're walking along, why am I actually carrying this? And the reality is, there is no reason. What I just described to you, dear audience, on Radio Aryan, is the very burden of the multi-ethnic society. How it is, we're dragging along dead weight. Dead weight that will never help, will never benefit, that ultimately is just a waste of your time, of your muscles, and of your taxes.
It is. It's just absolutely draining. I mean, we have the same characters over here. We have a guy who thinks he's a poet called Benjamin Zephaniah, and they bend over backwards to give him awards, and he has the cheek to snub them and say, "Oh, I'm not having that. I'm not having any part to do with the British Empire." And yet, if it wasn't for the British people all fating him and saying how wonderful he is, he wouldn't be anywhere. He'd be living somewhere in Rwanda or Zimbabwe. And just recently on the television the other day, we've had a lot of knife crime over here, particularly in London. And they're always bringing on representatives of the black community, these reformed characters that are supposedly going to stop the knife crime. But every year it increases. They had one on there the other day, and they were saying, "Well, what is the reason for this increase in knife crime?" And the reason for the increase in knife crime is the increase in Negroes in that part of the country. But he says, "Oh, it's class war. It's class war. It's because people have got too much money. That people are rich, and people see that people have got more money than them, and they just take it. That's what causes it. And it's run down areas, and there needs more investment in the areas. And the government have done away with all the youth clubs." And that was his reasoning for it. And they've spent a fortune educating this guy, promoting this guy, thinking that he's gonna stop knife crime, and it just increases. And there would be no knife crime if it wasn't for niggers. If we didn't have niggers in the country, there would be no knife crime. There was no mugging. The word mugging wasn't even a part of the English language until we had Negroes here. They're a plague. It's a plague on civilization. That's what Negroes are.
Let's see. I'm just looking at some statistics here, and this is from 2010 through the Freedom of Information Act. It recorded that, let's see, 54% of all accused in street crimes were black. For robbery, public street muggings, 59%, and gun crimes, 67%. These people, they only make out like a relatively small proportion, like 10% of London's population, at least according in 2007, and yet they make out such a significant number of crimes in London. So, yeah, you know, seems like the magical white man fairy dust is not really rubbing off on them, and the magical clay, you know, it's not really rubbing off on them. You know, one would be very, very tempted to maybe suggest that the Flynn effect being the theory that milieu, environment, means more than nature, you know, proper nurturing, will that eventually lead, you know, even the most foreign of peoples to completely assimilate into society and essentially get the same IQ as the indigenous population, maybe even higher.
Well, when you think about it, where is it that they've been for the longest amongst civilized peoples? Well, it's America. And have they assimilated in America? Have they become like white people? Have they do they not commit all these crimes anymore? Do they not have a 80% childless broken family rate? I think believes 80% of their marriages end up falling apart, and the kids don't have any fathers. No, they haven't. And no, and they never have. We can go back in history. We can go back to the Greeks writing about them, saying that they were completely uncivilizable, just savages running around naked, weaving shirts for themselves out of their afros, grubbing around in the dirt with their fingernails and eating worms and snakes and lizards. Or we can go back to Egypt and we can see what the Egyptians thought of the Negroes, and the pharaohs would have sandals with Negroes on the soles of their feet and on their walking canes, so that they were walking on them, and they had a big boundary stone saying, any unowned Negroes past this point will be killed. Basically, trespassers will be shot. And there was no attempt on the part of the Greek civilization to bring them in and to raise them up and to treat them like Greeks. There was none of that with the Roman civilization, and there was none of that with the European civilization until last century, when the European civilization became infiltrated and taken over by another outside threat, an outside threat that claim to be the people of the Bible, but of course they're not, and they're the main ones that advocate for them, because the Negroes don't have the IQ to advocate for themselves.
Well, it is very interesting to see how, as time has gone on, how the egalitarians and these cultural Marxists, they really seem to believe that over time, with enough resources dedicated to these people, that, you know, magically they would not be garbage. But surprise, surprise, we're now five generations into this nightmare, and they're still fucking garbage. So, yeah, I mean, I can mention some statistics from Denmark, and Denmark has put a lot of focus into trying to break social patterns. They're really trying to crack that nut called the problem and dilemma of social inheritance. How, allegedly, if a person is born into a bad environment, he himself or she herself will become a byproduct of that bad environment. And it is crucial, according to the government at least, that we dedicate as many resources as possible to try and uplift these people. Now, according to statistics from the Danish Statistics Bureau, DST, as well as the SFI, and from other statistical bureaus around Europe, I can mention that the one nation that actually has the highest amount of success with trying to break what you could call social conditioning, trying to break social patterns, is actually Finland, who has a success rate on 7.2% of all cases. Now, and this is, keep in mind, with a Scandinavian welfare model, that this is possible. However, in Denmark, after we took in the brown burden, the multicultural break, if you will, we only really seem to have a success rate of approximately 4.4%, according to DST. And what is really indicative, really indicative about this, is how Denmark has one of the highest tax rates in all of Europe. We pay 40% tax in minimum taxation. That's our income tax, 40%. And we spend approximately 36 billion kroners a year alone on non-citizen immigrants in this country on integration benefits. Now, another thing would be if we accounted for the amount of, you know, for example, activation services, as well as social services offer to non-white citizens in our country. Again, it would accumulate to approximately at least 50% of a national budget used on social services, which is absolutely insane. And of course, our government is not really willing to talk about the total amount of them, because recently they always said it was only 5% of the population, only 5%. But that is primarily because they're not taking into account of race. They're not accounting for race. So what they normally do is they say that now recently they had at least they at least upped the number to at least 8% of the Danish population is non-white. But knowing that, if you have reproductive organs in this country and you can manage to impregnate your partner and spit out your spawn, that you will magically be awarded with a Danish citizenship, that which pretty much means that according to Danish statistics, they are ethnically Danish. So what we can account for in this country is that at least 600,000 in our country out of 5.6 million people is essentially non-white. 600,000, that is at least 18% of our population that is non-white at this very moment. With that being said, they likewise do are vastly overrepresented within crime statistics. And, you know, as time has gone on and we have tried now since the 60s to try and uplift these people, what has been the case is that apparently now in our schools, the people, the working class youths that normally were able, of white descent, of course, were able to previously pull themselves up and get, you know, better educations or at least longer educations, now seem to be doing poorer. And this is specifically interesting in the regard that now in schools, it is well known that if you put in low IQ people or people from bad environments, they seem to make a lot of noise because they can't really keep up with the other children. They seem to try and distract the class as much as possible, make big scenes, put a lot of attention to them so the teachers can't properly focus on educating the other children. And this has been seen time and time again. And whenever they try and do these drastic and radical, you know, integration, assimilation maneuvers in Danish politics, they always take like a nice handful of shitskins and dump them off into a Danish school. And the effects are always devastating on the general, like, grades average. It drastically falls by, from what I've seen, at least 2.2 grade points whenever this happens. And you know, it's truly devastating in every imaginable way. And it's really, as I said earlier, it is easier to drag down than it is to push up. And these people are inherently from nature's side meant to be in the garbage can known as Africa. That's where they belong. They are trash people and they belong in the trash can known as Africa. That's where they belong.
Well, they can't be domesticated. And you can't domesticate the Negro. People would be stupid to try. This is what I'm saying. None of the Greeks did. None of the Romans did. The Persians didn't. None of the ancient civilizations ever thought, I know, we need more Negroes here. Let's get some more Negroes in and we'll try and domesticate them. They never thought that. They never thought like that. And we are wasting an absolute fortune on trying to do this. And the thing that really gets me now, there's no evidence to show that it's possible anywhere in our history. There's no evidence to show that it's possible anywhere looking at scientific experiments either, because they have taken Negroes and they've put them in upper class families and they've adopted them into middle class families, middle class white families. And there's no improvement in the IQ. There's no improvement in the crime rate. They've done these tests and that's how they did it. They did it by Negroes that were adopted by middle class families. Mm-hmm. And there was no improvement. And when you put them in the schools, as you say, their mentality is, we'll put them in the schools with the bright white kids and the bright white kids drag will help the them average, out and, yeah. and bring them up. Yeah, that's all it does. It just drags them down to their level.
There was actually done significant studies because like a lot of, you know, essentially at this point, the Flynn effect, which is what the multiculturalists have been leaning themselves on for like the last 30 years or something like that, have been saying that the Flynn factor will eventually step in and, you know, don't worry about all the darkies. They're going to become just like us, you know, when they've just eaten enough food and they have their brains well developed, you know, they get all the necessary nutrition and because we're all biologically the same, you know, they're going to become just like us. However, we are now at least, you know, 70 years into this mess. And, you know, what has been proven time and time again is that, no, as a matter of fact, even if they're adopted, you know, they're still going to have, you know, you can maximum increase the average IQ of 2 to 5 IQ points. That's the maximum you can increase it to. And what is even more shocking, what really debunks the whole idea of the Flynn effect being a legitimate thing, is just having a look at North and South Korea. Because the average IQ in Korea is, from what I remember, like 104. Now, keep in mind, in North Korea, they have major, like, you know, agricultural problems. They have too many people and too little food, and, you know, barely any of them can read it. They're massive problems if you're not part of the party, for so to speak. However, according to the internationalists, you know, third world, like the North Korea is a third world nation by definition. However, what has been proven through IQ tests on North Koreans is that their IQ is only 2 to 3 points lower than that of the South Korean, which means that their IQ is 101, while the South Koreans has an average IQ of 104, which means that nutrition and education really doesn't have anything to do with your general brain capacity. It has nothing to do with your logical IQ. So now that really just proves it. And now when they talk about integration, like, all talks about integration and assimilation all has the root and the fundamental idea of the Flynn effect. It all boils down to that. And that is what the egalitarians believe in religiously and fanatically. They truly believe that if we just throw enough food, enough money, enough programs into this, somehow they're going to get uplifted. But as we said earlier, reality is they drag everyone down. You can take the darkest Congo Negro in the world and put him into the best school in the world, and what's going to end up with, what is going to happen, and what has proven to happen time and time again, is that he's just going to grow resentful towards white people. He's at some point, he's going to lash out. He's going to hate white people for whatever reason. He's going to be ungrateful, and ultimately, he's going to perform poorly compared to all the others. It's just going to be a bad investment. And when he finally gets into the job market, he's going to be completely and utterly useless. Because Negroes are garbage. Putting in Negroes into any Western civilization is the equivalent of taking a garbage can, going into a nice living room and pouring garbage all over it, and then saying, oh, don't worry about the garbage. At some point, they're going to assimilate with the living room and it's going to look nice and smell good.
I think that's a very good analogy that you've got there. I think it's interesting you bring up the point that they will end up resenting us as well, because the mentality is, well, we just can't do enough for these Negroes. We want to help them. We bring them into our schools. We teach them. We educate them. We give them benefits. We throw open our borders to them. And then we tell them that they're the same as us. We tell them that there's no difference between us. Race is just a skin color. We ignore the skull shape. We ignore the difference in voice. We ignore the difference in hair. All these other physical differences which are shouting at us, these people are completely different to us. We ignore all of that and we say, oh, the only difference between us is skin color. And if you tell them that the only difference between us is skin color, then when they fail to do as well as white people, there is only one thing that could be causing that, and that's the white man being racist. It must be the white man that's keeping them down. It must be the white man that's preventing them getting the results they want. Yeah, well, this is it. This is why they get angry at us and resent us and blame us. And I dare say that they can see that we have something that's better than them, and we don't acknowledge it. We say, oh, no, we're just the same as the Negro. And that must seem really insulting to them to think, well, these guys could be better than they are. They don't have to behave like me, but they are. They're so ungrateful for having what they've got. And I think that plays into it as well. So there's resentment that it must be us that's keeping them down. And there's also this understanding that we are not grateful for what we've got. We're not grateful for being made a better people than the Negro, because we just copy him. Do you know what I mean? We used to set the standard, and the slaves used to look up to the master, and the master set a really good example, and he saw his slaves as an extension of his family. He saw them that they were like children. He looked after them, and they looked up to him. And in the first years after slavery, there was none of this absent fathers. There was none of the trouble that we see, the criminality that we see with the Negroes now. They had a few and they lynched them, but nowhere near what it was like now, because white people set a good example and the Negroes knew their place. They knew that they weren't as good as the whites. But there was none of this, well, we're all the same together. It just means that whites can now behave like Negroes and everybody just accepts it.
It is really interesting. It is really interesting to see how the resentment has grown. I wanted to mention something. Now I forgot about it completely. But it was related to the Negro question and the way they fundamentally operate. Okay, now I remember. White people often say, or at least white traders often say, that, you know, the reason we're born in this country is just by coincidence. It's like a cosmic coincidence. You know, it's not for any purpose. It's just that we were privileged to be born in a first world country, not realizing that our very existence is the byproduct of a long line of struggle. And that, as almost as instructed by the Great One, we are all put in place for this particular purpose of long line of blood turning the wheels of history. And with this in mind, this complete denial and rejection of this understanding of how we came to be, this long historical development of our peoples, they threw that under the rug and say, well, this is all coincidence. And you see all those poor brownies down there? They deserve to have let's give them a little help. Let's take in a few thousand of them and see if we can uplift them. And, you know, as if we almost owe them something, like we in some weird way owe them, you know, as much as two pots of piss, when in reality, according to the very natural laws of how biological organisms compete against one another, it is preposterous. What could we possibly owe them? And if we are to talk about owing anything to one another, well, let's have a look at each individual European nation and about how our borders, every nation's national borders in our fatherlands, is completely drenched in the blood of our national martyrs. You know, crimes have always been done in world history, and ultimately, man is a war being, a being that thrives on war. And this is how it has always been, this constant conflict of resources. And to all of a sudden say that because someone is dumb and ugly and belongs in a garbage can, all of a sudden comes forth, all of a sudden these natural laws are somehow they don't apply anymore. And we just need to bend a knee and offer up our nation's wombs as well as the resources we have. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up as well. I mean, that is the only way to raise the Negro's IQ is if they breed with whites. That raises the IQ by about 10 points, but that is the only known way. And 80% of mulattoes interbreed with whites. I mean, this is why I say you cannot have mulattoes in the alt-right. 80% of them will breed with whites. The ones that say that they're supporting white people are just trying to find themselves a white partner. And what you bring up there as well about, I think it comes under when they say, oh, you're only white because it's an accident of birth. It's just a coincidence that you were born white. Well, no, it isn't. It's because every single one of our ancestors made the right choice and bred with bone of their bones and flesh of their flesh. They made the correct choice of marriage partner. That's why we are white. They rejected interbreeding with the Negroes. And when you think of all the white empires that have gone before us, the Greek, the Roman, the Persian, the Babylonian, we are the absolute elites. Our ancestors were the most righteous of the lot because they never interbred with anybody else. They just interbred with whites, and they left the countries that were starting to turn brown and ended up in Europe. So we are the very, very elite of the white race. We're the only ones left out of these empires. And that's because our ancestors were so righteous, they only ever bred with white people. So no, it's never an accident of birth. It's never a coincidence. And what we have is the most valuable thing in the world is our blood, I think. Nat, thank you for coming on today. I don't know if you'd like to add something just before we finish.
Don't give money to black people. Tell them to belong in a garbage can.
Wise words, my friend. Thank you for coming on. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Billy Roper. God bless and hail victory.